Hello, this is Randy Thompson from the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Music Review. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about music from such sources as the New York Times, the News and Observer, the Week Magazine, Rolling Stone, and Entertainment Weekly. Music Review is underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning, please call 919-779-1755. This program is designed to provide the latest coverage of classical, folk, jazz, blues, rock, country, and pop music news. But first, these musical trivia questions. Today's trivia questions come to us from the website onthisday.com. Question number one, which of the following music-related events happened? Was it A, Jan Berry of the rock duo Jan and Dean crashed his car near Dead Man's Curve in Beverly Hills, California in 1966? Was it B, Van Cliburn of Kilgore, Texas earned first prize in the Soviet Union's Tchaikovsky International Piano Contest in Moscow in 1958? Or was it C, the Grand Ole Opry debuted on television in 1985? Was it D, all of the above musical events occurred on this very day in history? Or was it E, none of the above musical events ever even happened? So which of those possible five answers is correct? And question number two, on this day back in 2000, a London gallery announced that a well-known contemporary singer would have his paintings exhibited. So who was this well-known contemporary singer who also paints? Hint, the title of the exhibit is What My Heart Has Seen. So was that A, Ringo Starr, B, Taylor Swift, C, Tony Bennett, or D, Barbara Streisand? So who is this singer-artist anyway? The answers to these two important trivia questions will be given, as usual, at the end of today's program. Our transitions come to us from that same website, onthisday.com, and today, quote-unquote, is the weekend of April the 11th. Well, it was on this very day, back in 1742, that George Friedrich Handel's Messiah was first performed publicly. Handel's Messiah, first performed today, in 1742, in Dublin, Ireland. And it was 89 years ago today, 1936, you may remember, that the SPEBSQSA, which is the acronym for Society for the Preservation and Encouragement of Barbershop Quartet Singing in America, was founded. Barbershop singers finally organized today in 1936. And in country music news, we have this article titled, Garth Brooks' Debut Album. This is published in TheBoot.com. It was on this day 36 years ago that Garth Brooks' self-titled debut album was released. Neither Garth Brooks nor anyone else could have anticipated how much the music world would change. It was the beginning of one of the most successful country music careers of all time. At the time of the Garth Brooks release, Brooks was already storming up the charts with the record's first single, Much Too Young to Feel This Damn Old, which became the Oklahoma native's first top 10 hit. Brooks' freshman disc spawned three more top 10 singles, including his second single, If Tomorrow Never Comes, which became the first number one hit. Brooks, who co-wrote five of the 10 songs on Garth Brooks, admits that he had no idea how much his life would be affected by his freshman project. "I was definitely scared to death," he acknowledges. "I thought the album was very, very innocent, and I ought to be truthful with you every time I hear those songs on the radio or off the album itself, or even when we play them live. I really get that same kind of scared feeling that I had way back in 1988 and 1989. The fourth and final single from Garth Brooks was The Dance, which stayed at the top of the charts for 3 weeks and became one of the biggest singles of Brooks' career. The tune's accompanying video includes appearances by several people who perished while living the proverbial dream, including Martin Luther King Jr., Keith Whitley, and the crew of the Space Shuttle Challenger. Garth Brooks, the album, became Brooks' first diamond-certified record, signifying sales in excess of 10 million units. The Country Music Hall of Fame member remains the best-selling solo artist in U.S. history. The singer-songwriter says that he still traces much of his success to his first record. "That first album is always a big one for any artist," Brooks notes. "Without trying to sound egotistical, I'm very proud of my first one." Released today, 36 years ago. Vivaldi's Four Seasons, Spring, introduces our classical music news. It's an article titled, "He Rode His Motorbike Naked Into the Village." 15 Very Badly Behaved Composers. From Mozart to Peter Warlock, here are 15 composers who stepped out of line, socially, sexually, or just with too much motorbike-based nudity. This is published in Classical Music, BBC Music Magazine, on the 25th of March, 2025. Here at BBC Music Magazine, we are constantly reminded how composers, past and present, operate on a different creative plane from us normal human beings. And which of us, when in thrall to a sublime Sibelius symphony or miraculous Mozart mass, haven't concluded that such genius can only come from some sort of superhuman presence? Allow us to break the spell for a while. Of course, the great composers were all human. In fact, in terms of their faults and foibles, many of them were all too human. Vanity, greed, recklessness, temper, lust, you name it. As a collective group, there is scarcely a vice that composers haven't embraced in one way or another. By and large, most kept their unacceptable side fairly low-key. Some, however, really did push the boat of bad behavior out with gusto, such as badly behaved composers. We'll just cover a couple of these 15 today and save the others for later. We start off with Ludwig van Beethoven. His bad behavior? Messiness, antisocial behavior, and bad temper. He had many amazing qualities, but tidiness was not among them. Yes, Beethoven was desperately messy, and the smell from his lodgings wasn't too good either, as uneaten trays of food piled up in the corner right next to his manuscript paper. Unsurprisingly, he was always at odds with his landlords, although from their point of view, his squalid lifestyle was possibly the least of his faults. People complained that Beethoven kept odd hours and played the piano too loudly, and worst of all, he had a habit of shouting at his servants for stealing from him. The Rondo a Capriccio of 1795 later gained the nickname Rage Over a Lost Penny, because on the night he was writing it, the composer was sure a maid had stolen his gold penny, and he turned his entire apartment over looking for it. And coming in at number two, Jean Sibelius. Bad behavior? The demon drink. Perhaps what Beethoven needed was the steadying influence of a good wife, such as Jean Sibelius's other half, the other suffering Aino. The Finnish composer and notorious bon viveur, in his youth, founded Symposium, a drinking club that met in Helsinki's Hotel Camp, to binge on Benedictine for days on and while discussing art and life. Stories of Sibelius's excesses are legion. On one occasion, for instance, he had to be dragged away from feasting on oysters and champagne in a restaurant to conduct a concert. Very much the worse for wear, and it inevitably was down to Aino to pick up the pieces. As well as asking friends to keep an eye on her wayward spouse, particularly when his best drinking buddy was in town, she regularly trowled the bars of Helsinki herself to drag him back home when a composition's deadline was looming. Eventually, the only thing that could rescue Sibelius was a life lost to drink was a move to the countryside. Thelonious Monk's Round Midnight introduces our jazz and blues music news. It's titled The Best Jazz Songs, 9 classics you will listen to again and again. Which are the best jazz songs of all time? It's a difficult choice, but here's my top 10. This is written by Paul McGinnis in BBC Music Magazine on the 19th of March, 2024. So here are 4 of his 9 best jazz songs of all time. Summertime, Ella Fitzgerald and Louis Armstrong. One of the most famous songs of the 20th century in any genre, George Gershwin's Summertime has been recorded by everyone from Billie Holiday to Sam Cooke and Janis Joplin. Fly Me to the Moon, Frank Sinatra. Quincy Jones' arrangement for Count Basie's orchestra are part of what makes Old Blue Eyes' version of this 1954 Bart Howard number the definitive version. But it's Sinatra's effortlessly light vocal that sends it stratospheric. The recording was played shortly before Neil Armstrong's historic moon landing in July 1969. Unforgettable, Nat King Cole. Legendary arranger Nelson Riddle's magic touch creates a sublime bed on which to lay Nat King Cole's heavenly vocals on this timeless 1954 Capitol single. 50 years later, Natalie Cole added her vocals to create a virtual duet with her late father. Last but not least among these four, My Baby Just Cares for Me, Nina Simone. Although Nina Simone first released this recording in 1959, it didn't become a hit for her until it was featured on a perfume advertisement in 1987 when it went top 10. Nina Simone transformed genres, bringing influences from Southern gospel to her beloved J.S. Bach in creating her own unique style. And in music research and technology, we have this article titled, Here's How Listening to Sad Music Can Actually Make You Happier. Research suggests that sad music actually makes people feel more positive. This is published by Anna Sampson in BBC Music Magazine on the 22nd of November, 2024. A study has suggested that listening to sad music when you're feeling down doesn't make you feel worse, but actually improves your mood. The study carried out by scientists Lila Taruffi and Stefan Kolsch from the Free University of Berlin asked participants to name the emotions they have experienced when listening to sad music. From a given list of feelings, which includes nostalgia, sadness, wonder, and power, they were instructed to complete the survey individually and, interestingly, in a quiet environment without listening to any music. Our emotional response to music is more complex than we think. The most common feeling described was nostalgia, followed by peacefulness and tenderness. These feelings belong to the emotional category sublime, rather than unease, which is the group that sadness is placed in. The average number of feelings reported was above 3, which suggests that the emotional response we have towards music is much more complex than may often be assumed. The research also indicated that many people feel they gain specific emotional rewards through listening to sad music. These rewards include imagination, emotional regulation, and empathy. This could explain why the study found that people are more likely to listen to sad music when already feeling sad. Taruffi and Kolsch collected the views of 772 people, 408 from Europe and 364 from elsewhere in the world, through an online survey and published their findings in the peer-reviewed journal PLOS One. The authors have suggested that their findings could have implications for the use of sad music within music therapy. Specifically, that inducing these emotional rewards may play a positive role in a patient's well-being. And in rock and pop music news, we have this album review published in The Week magazine on the 28th of March, 2025. Throwing Muses. Moonlight Concessions album is given 3 out of a possible 4 stars. The new Throwing Muses album is like much of the band's earlier work, beach music for an eclipse, said Bill Pearls in Brooklyn Vegan. Formed in Rhode Island in 1981, the storied alt-rock group has endured through lineup changes and evolving styles, even a turn to mostly acoustic guitars on the record. Still, the through line remains a Kristen Hirsch off-kilter melodies and vocals that often feel like she's channeling spirits from the beyond. Despite sunny titles such as Summer of Love and South Coast, Moonlight Concessions has an eerie nocturnal vibe owing to bluesy progressions, prominent use of cello, and Hirsch's usual mighty sinister delivery. She continues to be a force of nature, ungovernable, volcanic, says Stevie Hicks in The Guardian. She sings of love and obsession, addiction and desperation. On the title track, she howls about breaking down, then cracking up, while Pete Harvey's cello provides a churning undertow. As they have for four decades, throwing muses conjure a profound and thrilling soundscape.
Must be Carolina calling me. Must be Carolina in these things that follow me. Must be Carolina, remind us of the way we ought to be. Must be Carolina calling me.
Mipso's Carolina Calling introduces our local music news. PBS North Carolina presents the music series Shades by Sound, which features North Carolina's brightest stars sharing their songs and stories. Upcoming programs in this series include April 17th, Blue-Footed Boobies. On April 24th, Fancy Gap. And on May the 1st, Reuben Vincent. By the way, Mipso, the group in the background now, performed on the March 20th episode of this series. Shaped by Sound is available to stream on PBS.org and the free PBS app, which is available on iPhone, Apple TV, Android TV, Android smartphones, and Amazon.
Must be Carolina, and it's all how we ought to be. Must be Carolina calling me.
So how did you do on today's trivia questions? Well, the answer to our first question, which of the following music-related events happened? Was it A, Jan Berry of the rock duo Jan and Dean crashed his car near Dead Man's Curve in Beverly Hills, California in 1966? Or was it B, Van Cliburn of Kilgore, Texas earned first prize in the Soviet Union's Tchaikovsky International Piano Contest in Moscow in 1958? Or was it C, the Grand Ole Opry debuted on television in 1985? Or was it D, all of the above musical events occurred on this very day in history? Or was it E, none of the above musical events ever even happened? Correct answer? Answer D, all of the above occurred on this very day. As noted in OnThisDay.com, it was on this day back in 1958 that Van Cliburn of Kilgore, Texas, earned first prize in the Soviet Union's Tchaikovsky International Piano Contest in Moscow. He was the first American to win that award. And in 1966, Jan Berry of the duo Jan and Berry crashed his car near Dead Man's Curve in Beverly Hills, California. He suffered severe head injuries and was in a coma for nearly 2 months. And finally, it was, in fact, on this very day back in 1985 that the Grand Ole Opry debuted on television. And the answer to our second question: on this day, back in 2000, a London gallery announced that a well-known contemporary singer would have their paintings exhibited. Who was this well-known contemporary singer who also painted? And I gave as a hint the title of the exhibit is What My Heart Has Seen. So was that A, Ringo Starr, B, Taylor Swift, C, Tony Bennett, or D, Barbara Streisand? Correct answer? Well, as noted on thisday.com, in the year 2000 on this day, it was announced that Tony Bennett, answer C, would have a selection of his paintings exhibited at a London gallery from May 16 until June 16. The title of the exhibition is What My Heart Has Seen, as in I Left My Heart in San Francisco, hint, a song which Tony Bennett was known for. And as noted in a 7/21/23 BusinessInsider.com article, in addition to being a legendary jazz musician, Bennett was an accomplished painter. His work has been displayed around the world, including 3 pieces in Smithsonian museums. Although Bennett died of Alzheimer's disease, his last words were, "The music never left me." So let's close out today's program with Tony Bennett's cover of Blue Moon.
Once upon a time, before I took up smiling, I hated the moonlight. Shadows of the night that poets find beguiling seem flat as the noonlight. No one to stay up for. I went to sleep at 10. Life was a bitter cup for the saddest of all men. Blue.
Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Music Review. Be sure to tune in at the same time next week. This program's also available as a podcast after the broadcast in our website, ncreadingservice.org. As we leave you now, remember these words: kindness is a language which blind people see and deaf people hear. Content of this program intended for people who are blind or print impaired. If you have a suggestion for music to feature on this program, please leave a message for me at 919-832-5138. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Music Review, underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information, or to schedule a piano tuning appointment, please call 919-779-1755. So long, until next time.
Without a dream in my heart, without love of my own,